You are here by no accident because God is pursuing you. And we've been looking at a case study of this for the last 2 weeks. This will be our third week. We're looking at Jonah, as Paul indicated. And listen, that whole story, just to get you caught up to speed, right? Here's a man of God who is a prophet who had heard from the word of the Lord. And God told him to go to Nineveh to proclaim a message. And Jonah, who is a man of God, says, don't think so. Those guys are mean. They're hate-filled people. They don't like Jews. I'm not going. And he runs the other way. And God, in his mercy, does what? Pursues him. Tracks him down. Sends a great fish after a great storm to get Jonah exactly where he needed to be so that Jonah could repent and return to the Lord. And that brings us up, because last week we ended, right, Jonah chapter 2, where Jonah had been in the belly of a fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and then blah, he gets vomited up on dry ground. And that's where we ended it last week. So that brings us up to chapter 3. But this is really all a case study about God pursuing us. No matter how much you have done, no matter what your sin quota is, right, you cannot create that distance and separation between you and God. When you turn around, he's right there because he's pursuing you. So as you guys pull out your notes, you turn to Jonah chapter 3. Let me pray for us and just ask God to guide our teaching time together. Father God, we thank you for your love for us and that you pursue us with an unfailing love. You've committed yourself to us, and there's nothing that can separate us from your love revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And so, God, today we pray you would open our mind, open our hearts to receive the truth of your word, and that the words that we receive would not be my words, Lord, they'd be your words, and that we would do with them as you would have us do. And so, God, visit us here this morning. Teach us, lead us, instruct us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 3, let's just get right into this, because in Jonah chapter 3, right, Jonah has been running from God. God got him. God got the repentance. Jonah confesses. He repents last week, gets spit back up, and now this is great. Let's go to this. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Read this with me. Then the word of the Lord, come on, you guys, you can read with me. I can't hear you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Woohoo! That is so awesome. Don't let this fly by you and not pay attention to this. The Hebrew word, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's sheni. All right? Sheni. Say that with me. Sheni. That way I'm not the only one who's butchering it. We're all doing it together. And it simply means again, a second time. The God in his mercy. If you have your notes, write this in. When God comes to us, in his mercy, right? Let's go to the next slide right here. Come on, keep up with me. There we go. God in his mercy may give us a what? A second chance. He may give you a sheni. When you don't deserve it, just like Jonah didn't deserve it, Jonah rebelled and Jonah ran, and yet God in his mercy came to Jonah and gave him a sheni, a second chance. You know, it's like, because God is a good parent. God is a loving parent. Heavenly Father. You know, how many of you are parents? Yeah, how many of you have had this conversation with your kid and then you realize that the kids didn't do it and you got to do what? Have the conversation again, a second time, because you're a loving parent and you're like, we can't let this continue. We have to deal with this. This is what God is doing. God in his mercy is coming to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. My prayer today for us is this is what you're going to hear. Maybe for some of you, this is going to be your second chance. Some of you today, my prayer is you may be here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And he has been pursuing you. From the moment you came out of the womb, he's been coming after you and you've been putting him at arm's length. And maybe today will be that second chance and you're going to hear him and you're going to respond and surrender your life to him. Others of you, you are a follower of Jesus. But at some point when the word of the Lord came to you, you said, I don't think so. And you kind of put it aside and you've been kind of running and hiding from the Lord. Or maybe God told you not to do something. You did it anyway. And today may be your sheni. It may be your second chance as God's going to come and visit us in his mercy. Second chance. This is good, right? Whoa, don't let that just woo fly by, right? In Jonah chapter 3, after everything he's gone through, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again, a second time, giving him a second chance. And listen, when the word of God comes to you in his mercy, you know what you need to do? You need to obey immediately. Say immediately. Immediately. Let's go to the next verse. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. God said to Jonah, what? Okay, we got one person. All right, it's right here. It's even highlighted for you. What did God say?
Go.
What did he say?
Go.
One more time.
Go.
Right? To the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. That word, go. Here's another Hebrew word. I think it sounds better in the Hebrew. Ready? Let's put it up there. Kum yalak. Kum yalak. Isn't that great? This sounds good. Now, you should say if you're going to be speaking in Hebrew, it should be coming down deep. Kum yalak. It comes out, right? But here's the word. We just translate it just go, but the idea is actually two words. Some of the older translations say arise and go. And if you have arise and go in your translation you're reading from, anybody? Nobody's reading out of the Bible? That's okay, we got one or two, three people. Okay. Arise. It seems too fast. Just arise. No, the idea behind this is get up. Go. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of action. Get up off your derriere and go. That's what God's telling Jonah to do. Go. Run. Do it immediately. You know how important it is? When the word of the Lord comes to you a second time in his mercy and he tells you to do something, that you do it immediately. Because listen, if you pause at all, right, don't. If we pause, we can talk ourselves out of anything, can't we? I don't know if that's what I really heard. Let me just give some time on this. Go. You're sitting here today, and I know that God has been speaking to a lot of you. And today he may speak to you. And God maybe put something on your heart. He may be saying, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go serve that person. I want you to go make something right with that person. I want you to forgive them. I want you to love them. I want you to go pray for them. I want you to go and bless this person with some financial resource. And you're going, what are you talking about? Go! Right? God's calling you to go. And a lot of times what we do is like, let me take an under advisement. I don't feel prepared on this. I need a little more training, Lord. Now go! When the word of the Lord comes to you in his mercy, go! And this is what God is saying. He has got this urgency. Get up! Don't sit there any longer. Go, Jonah! And go do what? Go to the great city of Nineveh. Again, Nineveh, not a good city. Why is it called a great city? Well, there's several reasons. I mean, we know historically that it was a great city by size. It was a massive city. I told you a couple weeks ago, right? The walls that surrounded the city of Nineveh, you know, the outer city, it encompassed 60 square miles. And then in the center of that was another highly fortified center of the city. This is where you had walls sometimes as high as 150 feet that encompassed 8 square miles. It's a massive city that housed, some scholars say, up to 600,000 people. And they pull some of that because in Jonah chapter 4, it talks about God saying there's 120,000 people in that city who don't know their left hand from the right. And they're saying those are young people. Those are people who don't know the difference between the left and the right. If you have 120,000 little kids, you got a lot of adults too, right? So up to 600,000, a little over 500,000 people could be in the city. Massive city, great fortress. But you know why it's also a great city? It was the center of the Assyrian Empire. It was like New York City, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C. all rolled up into one. It's where all the power was. It's where all culture flowed from. All the things that people were experiencing throughout the empire came from right there in Nineveh. It's a great city. Isn't that true? You get those major cities and it just influences the rest of us. Isn't that weird how what we do in Paso doesn't influence Los Angeles, but what Los Angeles does influences us? That's what's going on then. Nineveh was a great city. But you know why it was also great? Because of the level of its wickedness. All you got to do is go and read through the rest of your scripture. Nahum, the prophet, talks about how bad, God speaking to Nahum, talks about how bad Nineveh was. And their violence. This is what you're good at, he said. Nineveh is good at violence and murder. There are bodies all over the streets. They're good at prostitution. They're good at witchcraft. These are just the things they're good at. There's a lot of other evil. And so here's this city that is filled with violent, vile, wicked people who are influencing a whole culture. And God says, Kum Yalak, get up and go. Go now, go immediately. Don't sit there. And go to the great city of Nineveh and do what? Proclaim to it the what? The message I give you. Whoa. God didn't give him a message yet. Get up and go to Nineveh. And at some point, I'm going to give you a message. It's just not right now. Are you kidding me, Lord? Can you give me the lesson plan right now? Go. You obey and you go. That's what I'm asking you to do. What was Jonah's response? Verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. This man who did not obey the first time, when the mercy of God is extended to him, and the word of the Lord comes to him a second time and tells him to get up and to go, Jonah does what? He obeys. I'm out of here. And he goes to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah gets there. He's like, man, I don't know. It's 3 days to get through the city. I don't know if I'm going to make it to day three. I don't know if I'll make it through day one. But the Lord told me to go. And in obedience, verse 4, what's Jonah do? Jonah. Okay, it's right there highlighted again. Read it with me out loud. Jonah. Began by going a day's journey into the city. Again, that word began, it's hard to translate these words, but this is a Hebrew word. Let's put it up on the screen for you. Hallel bo. Get that out there. We say began. Some of your translations started to enter. It is two words. Hallel bo simply means when the word of God, kum yalak, comes and tells you to go immediately. Jonah had to halel bo, and he began. And the idea is that to start to enter, to begin, the Hebrew idiom here is he had to release, unhook himself, untie himself, untangle himself from the stuff that was holding him down or holding him back. That's what the starting part means. He had to release, break, untie, untangle himself so he could go. Whew. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah, out of his mercy, God calls Jonah to go a second time. And Jonah obeyed immediately. And he goes to Nineveh without even a message. He goes to Nineveh. But in order to get there, he had to release, unhook himself, unfasten himself from stuff that was holding him back. Listen, when God calls you, what is it that he says you may have to release? Remember last week in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and Jonah says, man, those of us who are clinging to our worthless idols, we're turning from the grace of God. He got to that spot, and he understood, in order for me to go forward, in order for me to be a part of what God wants me to do, I'm going to have to unhook, I'm going to have to release these worthless idols. What is it you have to let go of in order to obey the Lord immediately? Is that for some of you, maybe self. We learned that last week, right? No, Lord, I want to do what I want to do. God's like, no, you do what I'm asking you to do right now. Some of you may be financial security. Lord, really? You want me to take that job? You want me to go to that community? You understand? I like my security. I like my job. I like the pay I get right now. But God says, hey, trust me. Right? Some of you may be about your reputation. Lord, if I do that, do you know what people are going to say about me? They're going to think I'm loony. They're going to think I'm crazy. What is it that you may have to unhook, untie, get out from underneath so that you can move forward in obedience to the Lord? Jonah released, I think, the idolatry we learned last week of self. He also of prejudice, people that he hated and despised. He had to get past all that, let all that go, so he could be obedient to the voice of God. And he began by going a day's journey into the city, all right? And now he's a day's journey into a three-day journey, and on that first day, finally, we kind of get the impression here that finally the Lord says, Jonah, here's your message. And he begins to proclaim, go to the next one. Let me give this to you. To move forward in obedience, sometimes you have to let go. Just let go. Cue the song, right? Let it go, let it go. So, No Disney fans out here? All right. All right, slide that in there. Sometimes in order to be obedient, you're going to have to let go of stuff. What is it God's asking you to let go? And then he gets this message, right? And now he goes and he's proclaiming. Let's keep going. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming kara, which is crying out. He's yelling. He's using his outdoor voice going through Nineveh. He's not like, okay, I'm here doing the message, God, and I'm going to be quiet, but I'm giving. No, he's yelling out. What's he yelling out? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message. Are you kidding me? They don't like me, God. These people are going to kill me. And this is the message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm thinking, time out. I'm Jonah. I'm thinking, God, can we back this down just a little bit? Can't we go in and talk about your love? How you're a God who is good and loving and merciful. Maybe if we start with that, that'd be a better lead, right? Or maybe we could say, you know, you guys in Nineveh, your lives are just empty. That's why you act this way. And if you find Christ, it's going to bring fulfillment. Maybe we could soften it down, right? Just let's just tone it down a little bit. Or maybe even better yet, we could go old-fashioned and we could give, like, here's a three-point sermon, right? Right, and we can start out with a great story, and here's three things. God wants you to enjoy a full, abundant life. Stop being mean. And now don't worry. Be happy. Maybe we could do something like that, right? Tie it all up with the poem. Maybe that would work. God's like, uh-uh. Here's the message. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Seriously? Think about it. That's just like eight words. Eight words, and they're not even very helpful words, right? It's like somebody coming up to you and say, you know, in 10 days, everything's changing. Okay, what's that mean? Doesn't even talk about the grace of God, doesn't talk about the love of God, doesn't talk about how evil you are, doesn't talk about how sinful you are. It just says, in 40 more days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Oh, but listen. These are the words of God. And when the word of God shows up on the scene, and when you bring to bear the message that God has given you through his word, listen, there is no more powerful force on this planet than the word of God. No kingdom can stand against it, no principality, no power. The word of God is the power of God. It is the power of God for salvation. It is the power that can get inside. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, it can divide your soul and your spirit. It can divide your thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. This is a powerful, powerful tool. And so if God shows up and he says, this is the message, you give the message. Okay. I'm bringing the word of God. That's it. And Jonah brings this message. Now listen, eight English words. Actually, it's only five words in the Hebrew. In 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. God finally, he had prepared the message and he gave it to Jonah, but he delivered the message through a prophet he had prepared, right? And he delivered it to a city that he had prepared. Think about this. Jonah. Where had Jonah just spent 3 days and three nights? In the belly of a big fish. Could be a whale. We don't know. Could be a big shark. We went through that last week. Big fish, right? 3 days, three nights. You're in the belly of a big fish. You're going to smell nice and purty when you get out of that, aren't you? No, you're going to stink. You're going to smell like fish. You're going to be, yeah, sushi. You're going to smell like fish. Some scholars speculate, man, if you spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, imagine the digestive juices of that fish are eating away at your skin. It could have maybe even bleached his skin. And being in there, being kind of digested while he's going through it, coming out with bruises on his body. This guy has been beat down, and he is ghostly white. He's smelling like a fish. And he shows up in Nineveh. You know why this is so important? Check this out. Nineveh, Bible says, was founded by Nimrod, right? It can be one of two root words. It could be Ninus, which is the residence of Nimrod, but it can also be Nunus, Nunu. I think it's Nunu. Don't Google Nunu. I did that. Nunu, you know what that is? It's the Yeti rider in some video game. League of Champions. That's it. The Yeti rider in League of Champions. So Nunu. Actually, Nunu is an Akkadian word, the language of old ancient Assyria. And you know what it means? Fish. So maybe Jonah, you know, the VeggieTales Jonah movie, got it right. These guys were fish people. And they were slapping people with fishes. Don't know. But we do know historically that the Ninevites and the Assyrians, they worshipped Nanshi. Nanshi was the goddess of fish. She is the daughter of the king Ea, who is the god of water. They also worship the god Dagon. Dagon's the same god the Philistines worshipped. Dagon had the head of a fish and the body of a man. They worshiped fish. Fish were important. And here comes a dude, bleached white, smelling like a fish. I'm sure somebody saw him come out of the mouth of fish. And he walks into the city, and he says, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Woo, don't you think as a people you're like, maybe we should listen? I mean, if somebody walked in here bleached and they're bringing down condemnation and they're saying, you're going to write them off as these guys aren't all there. But God had prepared Jonah and he prepared the people. You know what's also interesting? History tells us that about the same time that Jonah would have been there, Nineveh and the Assyrian Empire was going through a transition. Shalmaneser IV was restoring Nineveh and Assyria to its great power of being evil and violent and crushing civilizations. But then he dies, and his brother, Assurdan III, takes over, and he's a little more timid. He's not as violent, and he's more passive. But not only is he more passive than the previous kings, there's some things happening in the kingdom. There is disturbances in the north. Military mites are starting to do some saber rattling up north. And on top of that, a famine hits the Assyrian Empire. And then a plague hits the Assyrian Empire. And then there is domestic and civil unrest and protests are breaking out through Nineveh. I'm not making this up. This is what was happening. And guess what else? An earthquake rocked the city, followed by a solar eclipse. I am not making this up. This all happened in a span of like 3 years. You know how worked up we got over a solar eclipse? And we have good science. Can you imagine those people? This is all God, our fish God, right? They are on edge. They are unnerved. And here comes a man smelling like fish, all ghostly white. God's prepared Jonah. God's prepared Nineveh. And God gives him a message. And he shows up at just this right juncture. It's not a coincidence. There's no coincidences. And he shows up right there. And he proclaims, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the word overthrown, this is a cool word. It can mean one of two things. It can be overthrown in the sense of you're destroyed, or it can be overthrown in the sense that it's changed. So it's like, here's God's double entendre message to the Ninevites. You got 40 days, gang. And in 40 days, either everything's going to be destroyed or you can change. Which will it be? Whew. Listen, we talk about the mercy of God. We talk about the love of God. We talk about the grace of God. And we believe that God is a merciful and gracious God. But there is a time limit on his mercy. The fuse of God's patience is growing thin. And the time is becoming short. And God sends the prophet Jonah to those people and he gives them 40 days. 40 days. Tick, 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 tick. For some of you, today may be day 39. Maybe day 5, I don't know. But God's mercy, it's a limited time offer. At some point, we believe the Bible is very clear that all humanity is going to pass and all nations are going to pass before and under the authority of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. The dead will be raised and all people will be judged. God is a God of patience. God is a God of mercy. But just because he has been patient for so long, don't think it may continue forever. At some point, he may say, 40 days, that's all you've got. Listen, there's a lot of talk on the internet right now, if you guys have been following this. Coming up on September 23rd, you heard about the Revelation 12 sign and all these things, these conjunctions that are happening, and it's going with the Jewish feast. Woo, September 23rd, when is that? That's Saturday. According to a lot of people, all these signs coming together, maybe that's the start of the tribulation. Maybe it's the rapture of the church. People are, whoa, and I'm not trying to throw you out there and freak you out, but what if you only had 7 days? Tick, 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 tick. God in his mercy may give you a second chance. And when he gives you a second chance, we are to obey him immediately. And sometimes in order to move forward in obedience, we're going to have to let go of whatever is holding us back so we can do exactly what God has called us to do. So what was the response of the Ninevites? Verse 5. The Ninevites, go ahead, read it. Read it. Read it again. Say it out loud. They what? The Ninevites believed God. I think this is so good. They didn't believe Jonah. They believe God. And I think that's a good encouragement here up on the stage. It's like, don't believe me. Don't believe the words that I'm saying. Believe God. Whatever he's speaking, you listen to him. You test those words that I share. Make sure they're the words of the Lord, because my words are going to fall. They're going to fade, but the word of the Lord's going to stand forever. And the Ninevites believed God. Listen, sometimes when we're trusting God and we're doing what he's asking us to do, we just have to trust him with the results. We have to trust him with the results. I think it's in your notes. The next thing, to move forward in obedience, sometimes you have to let go. When we obey God, we have to trust God with the results. The Ninevites, they believed God. Listen, you know how unrealistic, unbelievable that would have been for the people of that time? Really? The Ninevites? They believed God? I don't think so. These guys were evil. These guys were vile. They believed God, but then just in there with believing God. What else did they do? Let's keep going. Next verse. The story continues. The Ninevites believed God. A what? A fast was proclaimed. Some of you are like, I've never heard that word fast before. Yeah, some of us never fasted. And maybe it's something we become familiar with. But a fast, right, is simply, we're abstaining from food. Sometimes it's water, drink. Why? So we experience this pain. We experience this discomfort because we're seeking the Lord. And when my stomach starts to growl, which is going to do here in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be thinking about God. That's why we fast, so we can think about the Lord. And these people, they proclaimed a fast. All of them. How many of them? All of them, from the greatest to the, that's all people. That's the wealthy and the down and outers and the wealthy. All people, all spectrum. They all believed God, and a fast was proclaimed. And they put on what? Sackcloth. Sackcloth's like that burlappy material you throw on, right? You get rid of your nice, nice clothes. You put on this stuff that's just itchy and uncomfortable, a lot of times made out of goat's hair, and it's just bad, right? It's just, oh, bad material. Oh, that was a bad joke. But it's uncomfortable. They were repenting. They were being humbled before God. They heard the message. They heard what was going on. They saw what was going on, and the message came with power and conviction, and they believed God. And they fasted, and they put on sackcloth. You know how unlikely that would have been for the people at that time when you tell, oh, the Ninevites repented? I don't think so. I mean, that would be like somebody telling you that Howard Stern just accepted Jesus Christ and has a radio show on sexual purity. You're like, right, that's not happening, right? Or Madonna's a gospel singer, right. Or like everybody on the Vegas Strip right now is worshiping Jesus, everybody. And all those casinos have been turned into churches. And all this money, it's going to feed the hungry and serve the downcast. You're like, right, not happening. That's the feel of just what happened. The people believed, all of them, from the greatest to the least. and they fast and they put on sackcloth. But it doesn't stop there. Verses 6 through 9. Let's keep going. When Jonah's warning, what's the warning? Jonah's warning, but what was the warning that he gave? 40 days, right? And you're going to be overthrown. So you have a choice, either be destroyed or change. When the warning reached the king of Nineveh, he did what? Right. Rose from his throne. Ugh. You know how hard it is to get a king out of his throne? Gentlemen, how many of you watched football yesterday? Anybody? Baseball? Football? How many of you are going to watch football today? Yeah, and you're in recliner? Yeah, uh-huh. How often do you get out of that recliner? Like, nah, thanks, Vic. At least you're being honest. Honey, can you bring me the remote? Hey, how about a sandwich? I'm not getting out of this. I'm on my throne, right? You know how hard it is to get a king off his throne, and yet this king, when he heard the warning, whoop, he gets out of his chair, and he took off his royal robes. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat down in dust. Even the king is now in humility, repenting before the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Keep going. Verse 7. This is the proclamation. He issues a proclamation. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles. Here's the decree. Read it out loud. Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. And do not let them eat or... Okay, so you guys said you're not going to eat. I'm going to raise that bar. You're not drinking anything either throughout the entire kingdom. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth and let them do what? Let everyone call urgently on God. May they plead with God. When your hunger pains hit, turn to God. When you're sitting there and you're itching and you're clawing because these clothes are no fun anymore, turn to God and plead with God. Why? Next verse. Not only that, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Not only are you going to do this in word, right? You're going to do it with action. You're going to change your behavior. Why? Verse 9. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his what? Fierce anger so we will not perish. Let us call urgently and plead with God. And maybe God in his mercy will give us a sheni. He'll give us a second chance. And he won't treat us the way we've treated other people. Repent. Listen. 8 English words brought an entire empire to their knees. Listen, I look at our country. This would be like our president actually getting together with Congress and starting to use Twitter and tweet out to everybody or get on TV and say, you know what? Everybody, we are declaring national repentance before Almighty God. Can you imagine that happen in our country? I mean, just to get the president and the Congress together, right? But then they come together and we're saying, we have been wrong and we're repenting and we invite everybody. In fact, all flags half mast, schools closed, offices are shut down. We are going to repent as a nation before God. Whew. And that's exactly what happened when the Word of God showed up on the scene. Listen, I think we all want this world to be a better place, right? We look at what's going on in our country and like, Lord, why? Right? And we question and we wonder. And yet I think all of us could agree, man, we want a place. We want to be a country. We want to be a civilization where women are treated with respect and honor by men, not abused. We want to have families that raise kids, not murder them. Right? We want people who are outcast to be served and loved. We want people... The color of your skin and your heritage, this is something to be honored and to be cherished and to be celebrated, not to be profiled and attacked. We want this. We want the love, the joy, and the happiness. You know what all that is? That's the kingdom of God. We want what God had instituted and put onto this planet before sin hit this place. And it's in us. And so what do? We go out and we protest and we petition. but nothing changes. And we elect new officials, and nothing changes. And we go out and we serve, and we are starting new nonprofits, and we're giving to people, hoping that we can save them and break these cycles, and nothing changes. Because none of this stuff can get down into the core of the human heart and bring real change. The only thing that can do that is God through his Holy Spirit under the authority of the Word of God. We bring the Word of God and we proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And when people submit and surrender to the authority of the Word of God and are led by the Spirit of God, that's when change happens. Man, what gets me is that Jonah knew that God was a God of compassion and grace. Jonah knew that. And yet he was hesitant. And he didn't want these people to repent. You know how I know that? He came in with this message, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Don't you think in the back of his mind, he's like, yes, it's about time. Because when Nineveh repents in chapter 4, where's Jonah? Oh, God, I knew you would forgive them. That's a spoiler alert. We're going to look at that next week. He knew the character of God. The Ninevites didn't know the character of God. And yet they hoped and they trusted and they said, who knows, maybe this God will be gracious and compassionate and merciful to us. Maybe. And when they repented, what was God's response? Skip forward about 3 slides real fast. Keep going. There you go. One more. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he did what? He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. When they repented, God says, okay, I see your heart. I will relent. I will not visit you with the punishment you deserve. And God in his mercy continued. And that nation continued because they repented before the Lord. Listen, we stand on this side of the cross. We know what God's heart is for all humanity. We know, and these are the slides we just passed over, John 3:16, right? We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter your background, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. We also know that God's patience with us is because he wants us all to repent and to come back to him. But gang, we're on the clock. And the clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Go back a slide. 2 Peter tells us this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. Why? Doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you're here and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you need to understand, doesn't matter where you are, what you've done, doesn't matter how horrific your sin is, God in his grace and mercy will embrace you, he will forgive you, he will lift you up, he will clean you off, and he will set you on a new path, and he will fill you with his Spirit, and you got a brand new life. And he sets you down in community with other brothers and sisters who are going to walk with you and pray with you and support you and build you up. That's why we're here. But how many of us, we know that and we're just sitting on our hands? We're not doing anything. How many of us are like Jonah? We know the character of God. And we like serving God until he asks us to do something kind of difficult or inconvenient. Then we're like, I don't think so. Don't want to do that, God. No, gang, we need to repent. And come back and we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and we do what he asks us to do immediately. How many of us are here like the Ninevites? We're just doing life the way we like to do it. And listen, the life the Ninevites were living, it was working for them. They were powerful. They were wealthy. They were in total control. Things were going great. But it wasn't going well with God. And he says, this has got to change. And he brought the message for them to repent and to turn back to him. Listen, this is not 3 steps to a happy life, gang. This is, there is a judgment coming. Repentance is the only thing that's going to spare us. Are you willing to repent and embrace the mercy and the grace and the love of God to be spared of that? But more than that, to enter into this incredible life of newness and freedom that's filled with power and joy and love? Willing to do that? Because you know what Jesus said? The guys of Nineveh, they're going to stand up at the judgment and they're going to condemn this nation, this generation. Because they repented at the teaching of Jonah. But one greater than Jonah, the Lord Jesus himself, has come. What are you going to do? What is God asking you to do? What's the word of the Lord that has come to you? You're like, I don't know. I'm going to put it over here. I don't want to deal with that right now. Or I got other things to do. No. You need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and turn back to him. Jonah 3:10, go forward one more time. When God saw what they did and how they what? Turn. That's repentance. At one point, the Ninevites were walking this way in complete, utter rebellion, totally against God. They're just walking away from him. And then the message comes and they turn and they leave that and they turn and embrace to repentance. What's God asking you to do? He's asking you to repent? Is he asking you to lay something down? Is he asking you to return? Return to him today. Get back in fellowship with him. Get on your knees, ask for forgiveness. Surrender your life fully to him. Is he asking you to do that? If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, is he asking you to do that? To surrender to his authority. Listen, there are a lot of religious options, but there's only one God. And he's revealed himself clearly in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm the only way to the Father. We better take him seriously. So I'm going to have you think about it. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And we're gonna sing a song. And as we sing this song, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity just to ask God, God, what is it that's going on in me right now? What are you saying to me? What are you speaking in me right now? What am I holding on to that I need to let go of? What are you calling me to do that I need to do? Whatever it is, as we sing, lay it down before the Lord. How do you do that? You can just stay right where you're seated and you can pray and you can ask God to forgive you and surrender and submit to him. Some of you are like, you know what? No, this is real. I have been running so hard from him. I need to get out of my seat. And I need to make a move toward him. And I'd say, come on up. Come to the cross. Get on your knees before the cross. Come up here. If you want somebody to pray with you, come up here. Whatever God is asking you to do, this is the time. Today is the day of salvation. The clock is ticking, gang. What are we doing? This is the message of Jonah. That no matter how hard we're running from God, we cannot create distance between us and him. And he is pursuing you because he loves you. And he's coming after you. And the fact you're here today is evidence of that. So as we sing, make this your song. Sing it to him. Turn it into a prayer back to him. Come and pray. Receive prayer. Do what you need to do to make this time your time before the Lord.